I'm really glad to be here this morning to see you all again. I thank the Lord for his kindness and his love. Please turn with me to Psalm of David, Psalm 48. Psalm of David, Psalm 48. My family sends their regards to you all, and they are really fond of you. And we thank the Lord for you are all here. And the blessing of the Lord is continuing in this place. So we come to Psalm 48. My focus this morning is on verse 14. I will read verse 14, Psalm 48. It says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." My subject, based on this particular verse and throughout the psalm, is going like this: confidence in God. There are so many testimonies in the Bible, testimonies of the people of God. The people of God know the Lord for themselves and go with him in their life. And it's amazing to know God. It's amazing to be the people of God. And it is amazing also to be guided by God. So this confidence in God, I say, is the testimony of the true people of God. If you know God, you have testimony in yourself. And you know him, and you will be blessed by him, and you will be guided by him. So in this particular verse and in this particular psalm, I am going to talk about three headings. And the first one would be the how this confidence in God is presented. So when we see verse 14, it says, "For this God is our God forever and ever." It's amazing. This is the testimony of the confidence of God's people as they are explaining their relationship with God and how they are related with him in their life. And I want to mention few things about this verse in my first presentation. "For this God is our God." In this particular half of the verse, you can see God is presented in a unique way. This can be gleaned from the structure of the word, and I want to say few technical things. First of all, the word "for" is actually bringing what is going on from verse 1 to verse 13. It is a kind of giving reason, or because of this, God is my God, is the idea that is presented here. And it gives reason of the confidence the people of God has in believing in God. And it's amazing when you see the structure here. It says, "This God is our God." God, his name, is mentioned twice in this particular brief verse. It's amazing. This God is our God. But I want to say a few things about this. What is that word "this" indicates? If you consider the grammar or the structure of the language, this is a small word that is known as a personal pronoun, and it is a demonstrative pronoun in its nature. But when it is attached to the name, that is God in this particular sense, it is becoming an adjective. And it qualifies the name of the Lord and the name of the particular individual that is mentioned. So this noun, God, the name of God, is qualified by this particular small pronoun, personal pronoun, demonstrative pronoun. Now it is changed to adjective. Now it qualifies the kind of God whom we are believing. It's a wonderful God, and it is presented in a unique way by this particular small word, "this." And when you see and when you ask what kind of God believers believe, and what kind of God believers have their confidence in. When you ask this, you can go throughout the passage and you can get some important points. The first one I mentioned in this, I want to mention in this particular passage is on verse 1. Verse 1, it says, great is the Lord, our God. That is mentioned and particularly qualified by this. This God is a great God. Some people think believers' God is a local God. Our God is not a local God. He is almighty, universal God, God of the earth and God of the heaven. He knows everything and he is almighty throughout the universe. And some people think God in their own thinking that God is small. But our Bible says our God is great. Great is the Lord, is his name, and how it is explained here. So this God, our God, is amazing God. He is beyond measure. No one can measure him. No one can imagine how great he is. He is very great, beyond measure. And he knows everything. His knowledge is great. His wisdom is great. It's amazing. His love is great. He loves you and he wants you to come to him and to be sheltered in him. He is a great God. Some people think God, some kind of God that they imagine would be African God or God of United Kingdom or God of America. Our God is not like that. He is God of the entire universe. And he is your God. He is my God. He is great God. Great God beyond measure. So this is important to understand, to have confidence in the God of heaven and earth. The second point in this my particular heading is found in verse 3. When you come to verse 3, it says, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. This God is known a refuge. What does it mean? It means you can come to him and you can rest in him. You can be sheltered by him. Your soul, which is hungry of peace and rest and satisfaction, could come to him and could have rest. Rest of mind and peace of mind, joy in life and in soul can be only gained by coming to the God, our Lord. So it is known in his church, a refuge. You can come to him and you can rest on him. You can depend on him and you can be blessed by his peace and by his joy and by forgiveness that is granted in his house. So our God, this God, is a refuge. He is known a refuge. I can mention so many examples from the Bible. If you can go to the godly people that are mentioned in the Bible, for instance, Abraham, Jacob, and prophets of the Old Testament, and Paul in the New Testament, and believers in every age, if you ask them, who is God for you? They will tell you, he is my soul's refuge. I trusted on him, and I have peace in him. I have joy in him. I have forgiveness, mercy from him. This is the confidence that the people of the Lord have throughout the history of Christian church. And let me come to verse 4 to verse 6. I'm not going to read them, but it says, when you read them, for lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. This is about the enemy of the Lord. Kings and mighty people gather around to stand against the will of the Lord and the rule of the Lord and so on. But you see, before the presence of the Lord, his enemies will tremble and they will lose their power and their might. I know so many people in different places are afraid of Satan and his work and afraid of anything really in this world. But our God is feared by his enemies. Who is your enemy? Don't fear them. Respect God and come to him and revere him and trust on him. When you do that, your enemies will tremble because the Lord our God is beyond any other enemy in this entire universe. Amazing to see, if you come to verse 8, it also mentions about his church, his city, and it will be established throughout and forever and ever. It says, the church of the living God, ruled by him and sustained by him, will never perish. People think the church will perish and will be no more in the entire world, because when we see the global atheism and secular humanism and philosophical ideas which are coming from time to time in this age and nation, we might have a fear that the church will no more be there. But the church is placed here in this entire universe and in this local place, East Delitzsch, by God himself, and it will never perish, because it is established by our God. So it says that the city of God and the place of God and the house of God will never perish, but it will continue. This God, our God, is the establisher of his people and his church. So we can have confidence in God. Not confidence in this world, not confidence in this philosophical outlook of so many people, but our God is a real God, true God, loving God, the only living God, so we can come trust on him and have confidence on him. Let me come to verse 9 in my first heading. In verse 9, you can see, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. This is also mentioning what is going on in the house of the in the house of God, that is the church of the living God, in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, in this age and in the coming ages as well. The people of God, those who have confidence in God, they are saying here, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God. They are saying, you, our God, have a wonderful loving kindness, and in your house, in the church of the living God, in your temple, we are thinking, reflecting, and meditating about your loving kindness. What does it mean? You know, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a place where the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be preached. We have a wonderful message, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and sinners can come and can be challenged by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they come and if they trust on the saving power and saving knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be forgiven. And this is his loving kindness. It's amazing in the Old Testament description, this loving kindness is known in the New Testament as the grace of God. The grace of God is mentioned in the New Testament as the loving kindness of God. And it's important to know, our God is a loving kind God. They say, this God is our God. What kind of God? This is a kind of God who has loving kindness. He has a loving kindness. Two things are combined in this particular word, as you can see. God is loving as well as kind. There are no people in this world who are loving and at the same time kind. You cannot find some people like that. These two things are not found in combination in people's life. And there are so many people I know, very kind, but they might not be loving. But God, when you see, he is loving and at the same time kind. His loving kindness is amazing. He is compassionate. He loves us. And he is also kind at the same time to human beings. This loving kindness of God is amazing. It is demonstrated for people of the world by the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came in this world and he took our human nature and he suffered and died on Calvary cross. This demonstrates the two things that God has in his character and in his nature. He is loving and at the same time he is kind. So loving kindness combined together in the sacrificial days of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you come to Him, you can rejoice and you can be forgiven and you can be really blessed by the loving kindness, mercy and forgiveness and amazing acceptance that you can have in the sight and in the house of the Lord, our God. So this God, unique God, is not like any other human imagined gods. Unique God is loving kind, great, and a refuge for His people. And let me come to verse 10, and I will proceed to my second heading after I say something about verse 10. In verse 10, it says, according to Thy name, O God, so is Thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. What kind of God believers have confidence in? It's amazing God. And it is mentioned here, He is praised unto the end of the earth. When we are asking people to come into the house of the Lord and to come, repent their sins and put their trust on the Savior for their salvation, they think that we are bringing them and inviting them to vote for the Lord, our God. We are not asking people to come into the house of the Lord to vote for the Lord. No, no one can vote for Him. He is glorious by Himself. He is self-sufficient. He is existence God. He exists by Himself. He doesn't need any support from anyone. When we invite people to come into the house of the Lord and to repent and to trust the Savior, it is for their own benefit. It is for your benefit. You can see that He is thanked and praised throughout the earth. There are so many people in the jungle of Amazon who are thanking and praising the Lord. There are so many people in China, even in the Arab countries, who come and praise the Lord for themselves because they know for themselves what kind of God this God is. So it's amazing to know this. And then next to this in verse 10, it says, thy right hand is full of righteousness. Our God, in His right hand, He is full of righteousness. There is nothing blemish in Him. He is pure, He is righteous, and this kind of God is our God. So this is the confidence and the testimony of the people of God when we are considering this particular chapter, or if you like, this particular Psalm of David 48. So what kind of God this God is? This is a great God, a God who is a refuge for His people, who can give peace and forgiveness and righteousness, and He is feared by His enemies, so we don't have to fear Satan and whatever plan he has for us and in our life, because our God is great God, and His loving kindness is amazing, and His right hand is full of righteousness. So let me go to my second heading. In the second heading, I'm still focusing in verse 14. Let me remind you, it says verse 14, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. So my second heading is, this God is our God. So you can say, who is He for us? You can ask this question. This God is something for us. He is our God. So the people have confidence in God, and they are saying, this God, the great God, the almighty God, who is a refuge for His people, is ours, are saying these people. So this is the testimony of the people of God throughout history. And if you believe in God, God is yours, as if He is something like a possession you have. He is my God, and He is your God. He is our God. It's amazing to know. If we don't know that He is our God, we cannot have confidence in Him, because our mind cannot settle on Him properly. according to the word of God. So if you are a believer, you must be able to say, God is my God. If he is not your God, you cannot say it. And if he is not your God, this morning, you must come to him, repent your sins, and trust on him through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be able to say, God, the Almighty, the Great, the All-Knowing, the All-Ever-Wise, this God will be my God. You can say this if you come and be saved by the righteousness and by the forgiving love of our God. So believing in God and trusting in him, being found in him, will be lifting you up to the stage where you can say, God is my personal God. He is presented like this in the Bible, and the people of the Lord have this confidence throughout the history of the people of God in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. But I should think as an illustration about one point. This point would go like this. I'm sure some of you have a home, and some of you have a car, or some of you have some kind of thing that you say, this is something that belongs to me. This is true. We have something that we can say, this is mine. But in the history of humanity, no one can say, this home is mine forever and ever. Just instinctively, you cannot say that. You can say, this is my house, but you cannot say, this is my house forever, because you know this is not yours forever. You cannot say this. No one can say this. You can have a car, but you cannot say, this my car is forever mine, because one day you will leave it in this world. This is true. And this is a lesson from our nature. But there is one thing, these people who have confidence in God, which they say, this God is mine. For how long? Forever and ever. It's amazing. Let us see what is mentioned in the word of God. It says, for this God is our God. For how long? Forever and ever. So there is only one thing in the entire history of humanity that human beings can say, this is something that I have forever and ever. You can have the entire world as you think. You might say that this world is mine forever and ever. You will be foolish to say that, because it cannot be yours at all. And you can say, as I have mentioned, those possessions as yours forever and ever. It is foolishness. It cannot be yours. And our instinctive inside of us cannot drive us to say those things. But there is only one thing, I want to emphasize this, you can say, this God is my God forever and ever. How foolish it is to do not come to God. How foolish it is to remain unbeliever. How foolish it is to trust on the entire universe, which one day you can leave it behind you. So I'm encouraging you this morning, if you are not come yet to the Lord, you must come now. He will be yours forever and ever. He will be your possession forever and ever. This is what is mentioned in the Bible. So don't be fooled by this world. And don't be fooled by the things, by imaginations of this generation. The only thing and the only one thing you can say you will have it forever and ever is only God. And you can have him through repentance and by coming to the Lord our God, by repenting your sins and by trusting our Savior. So I encourage you this morning to come to the Lord and to repent your sins, and to see to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through him, you can get this amazing privilege and amazing possession. The God of the universe, who is the great God, a refuge for yourself to be yours forever and ever. This is a blessing to be in. And my third heading, I should continue to my third heading. My third heading goes like this: what will this God do for us? The confidence in God that is mentioned in verse 14 of Psalm of David 48 is amazing. As it is mentioned here, let me read it again to you. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. What will he do if he is going to be your God? And the people of the Lord are mentioning in a clear way that this God, that great God, that God who is a refuge for his people, that God who is full of mercy and loving kindness, will be your guide. He will be our guide. Of course, it says here, even unto death. So I will come to explain that. So God's people have got this amazing confidence in the Lord. And they know that he is guiding them. And he was guiding them. He is still guiding them. And he will guide them, past, present, and in future. So this is amazing unity or relationship between God and his people, as you can see from the testimony of the confidence of people of God that is described in the Bible. So when I'm going to say about this, you can remember what kind of guidance the Lord gave in the wilderness when the people of God came out of the land of Egypt. He was guiding them night and day by pillars of fire and by pillars of cloud, day and night. He never stopped from guiding them. So this God is a guide. It's amazing. He puts himself, though he is almighty, though he is so great God, he puts himself, it's amazing to think this, he puts himself in the position of a guide for his own people. You know, young people needs guidance from small age, and ladies needs guidance, and gentlemen needs guidance, old people needs guidance, and learned people needs guidance. And here is our God to guide us. And the testimony and the confidence of people of God says that he will be our guide. We know him while he was guiding us. And in the unknown future, he is the one who will be guiding us throughout our future life. So it's amazing to know this, and it's amazing to be guided in my country. Back so many years, I remember some people from the rural part of my country and from urban place of my country, and so many people need guidance. They seek guidance from so many ideas. And in the East, you know, there are palm readers. If you give them your palm, they try to read your palm, and people are excited about this. They need guidance. And people are going to so many crazy places seeking prophets and apostles, and they seek for something to be told about them and their futurity. That is crazy. This is unreliable guidance. There is a reliable guidance, faithful guidance, all-knowing guidance, the Lord, our God, who in his faithfulness and wisdom and knowledge can guide you and your life and your futurity in a right and in a true way according to his knowledge and amazing wisdom. So I must ask at this point, who is your guide? Is this world your guide? Is human imagination your guide? Or in some sort of religious thinking your guide? Who is your guide? Is this God your guide? If this God is your guide, you are blessed and you are in a safe place, because he will guide you forever and ever. Of course, the psalmist and the testimony of the confidence of the people of God mentions here, he will be our guide even unto death. But the Hebrew has a sense of He will be our guide beyond death. It says like that. It is the guidance of the Lord is not up to death, but it is beyond death. So he will never stop guiding us. He will guide us into heaven, and he will be our guide in heaven itself. So this is most trustworthy guidance that we can glean and we can guide, we can get and we can have for ourselves from what the confidence of the people of the Lord are saying in the scripture. So you can see this is the confidence of the people of God who come and trusted him. They have seen his faithfulness, and they trusted in his faithfulness, in his greatness, in his kindness, in his mercy, in his love, in his embracing love. So you can come this morning, trust on the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can have God for yourself. So it's amazing if you can come and say, this God is my God, rather than saying, this world is my world. It can never be yours. And I have said, this is true. You can never say, this house is my house forever and ever. But you can say, this God is my God forever and ever. Come and have him. Repent your sins. Trust on the Savior. And through Christ, you can have him. And he will be your guide forever and ever and even beyond days. Because he is faithful, because he knows everything. He is wise. He is kind. So come to him, repent your sins, and trust on the Savior. What amazing blessing it would be if you come and be found in him. So we thank the Lord for his word. Let us close this message by prayer, and we'll finish by singing the last hymn. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your great kindness and mercy. We thank you, gracious Lord, for you are almighty, all-knowing, great beyond measure, but willing to put yourself in the position of guiding your people and leading your people, and with great compassion and love that is beyond our imagination as well. O Lord, our God, if there is someone this morning who has not come yet to trust on you and have not yet found in your loving kindness and have not yet received your mercy and your grace, O Lord, melt that heart and mind and that soul and bring it to yourself and to be found in you and to be found in your greatness and kindness and to have a confidence in you to be guided throughout their life by your amazing knowledge and faithfulness, never failing your people. O Lord, bring that soul this morning towards yourself. And we thank you for this church, and we thank you for the work of your loving kindness is continuing in this church. Bless the leaders of this church, our pastor in this church, and deacons and leaders and workers in the Sunday school, and bring many blessings, bring in many souls from this our neighbors, and bless them in this place. Be their guide and grant them your forgiveness and your forgiving love according to your great wisdom and kindness. Oh, how we pray for this to be for so many people. We ask this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.